You're gonna need an ocean of Calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound the minute you start to mess around. Poison ivy.
Poison ivy by the Coasters. And if you're unlucky, you might run into that pesky plant this spring and summer. Our next guest has some tips for treating that itchy rash and a whole lot more. Larry Mueller here talking about skincare with our guest back with us once again, Dr. Apple Bodemer. Dr. Apple is a dermatologist professor in the Department of Dermatology at UW-Madison. She also directs an integrative dermatology clinic, which focuses on offering this healthcare approach for dermatologic conditions. And as we talk with her, want to hear from you. Let us know what ails your skin this spring or summer. What do you want to know about taking care of bug bites, maybe? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Apple Bodemer, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Larry.
We're talking about poison ivy and poison oak there from the Coasters, but how can you tell if you've got a rash from poison ivy or poison oak?
Well, usually it's very red and kind of swollen, and then it'll start to blister up for most people. It's intensely itchy. So if that happens, if you notice, especially in an area where you might have been exposed to some plant material, then you should consider that that might be the case.
Yeah. Are there ways to prevent it from spreading, the rash?
Yeah, so it's actually caused by an oil called urushiol, and that oil is found in poison ivy, also in poison oak and poison sumac. And once that oil is on the skin, it can spread on the surface of the skin by rubbing or scratching. It can also transfer from clothing to the skin or even from animals. If you've got, you know, a dog that might be running around in the woods and then that oil gets on the dog's fur, it probably won't cause the dog too much trouble. But if you are petting the dog, then that, and you get a rash, that could be poison ivy. So something just to think about.
Yeah. How do we relieve the itching and the pain?
Well, first of all, you want to wash it off. And because it's an oil, you'll need to use soap and warm to hot water. If you just are kind of using cool water and kind of rinsing, the oil will just sort of spread on the surface of the skin or clothing or whatever it is you're trying to get it off of. So really important to wash the skin as soon as you can. So if you are somebody that works out in the woods or in a place where there might be one of those poison ivy, poison oak, or poison sumac, then you'll want to just make sure you clean yourself really well. Wear protective clothing. So wearing long pants, long sleeves, tucking your pant legs in, kind of all the things that we do to protect against ticks can also help us protect against having our skin get exposed to poison ivy.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about washing the clothes.
Yeah. Yes. And that should be, you should wash clothes, especially if you know you've gotten poison ivy. The clothes that you are wearing should be washed in with, you know, detergent and as hot a water as that clothing will tolerate.
Yeah. And what might a doctor prescribe to help treat a rash gone wild?
Well, if it's really bad and you end up in, say, urgent care or in your primary care doctor's office or your dermatology's office, then you'll probably be getting prescribed something called prednisone, which is an oral medication that can just cut down the inflammation and give people relief pretty quickly. That usually needs to be taken for about 2.5 to 3 weeks. If you stop it too soon, the rash can flare back up again. Even if it's kind of gone away within a few days, we commonly will see that. But there are some things that you can do at home before it gets to that point. So if your case is mild or you're catching it early, things like Calamine will help dry up some of those blisters, like a Calamine lotion or hydrocortisone 1% cream or ointment, which you can get over the counter, or 0.5% is also available. That can kind of act as a mild anti-inflammatory too. Cool compresses or oatmeal baths can be really soothing. They're not really going to take the rash away, but they can help make it more tolerable as you're going through it.
Dave in Appleton has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if this question is appropriate for this program. However, I do get bruising under the skin very easily, and I'm told that it's purpura or something, very thin blood vessels that burst easily. And my main question is, why am I getting it now? I never had it before. Is it age? I know people in my same age group that don't get it, same diet. How can I take care of that and prevent it?
Yeah. That is, we call it solar purpura, and it's usually due to the thinning of the skin and the blood vessels, as you already mentioned. And the biggest driver of that really is UV exposure or sun exposure. And so while your friends might be the same age, they maybe haven't had the same level of exposure. The other thing is things can thin the skin out, other things that can thin the skin out, like people who are on prednisone for long periods of time. That can also cause the skin and the blood vessels to get thinner, and that might contribute. But the best thing that you can do is try to slow it down, try to slow down that thinning of the skin. So wearing protective clothing, like a UV protective sleeve on your arms, that, you know, or sunscreen. Sunscreens have, you know, they're not perfect either. They rub off and they wear off. So I'm really a big fan of those sleeves. And then trying to protect your arms from any trauma. And I know lots of people get to the point where you kind of look at a doorknob and think about bumping it and the bruise shows up. So it's not always possible because it doesn't always take a lot of damage or trauma to cause the bruising. But really, that's kind of the best thing that you can do is to try to protect it from further thinning through UV protection. There's some people that think Arnica helps bruises resolve more quickly. And so there are several different Arnica creams on the market that you could give a try. I don't know if they make a big enough difference to matter clinically. So I'll tell people it's safe as long as the skin isn't broken. But if you've actually broken the skin, you don't want to put Arnica on that broken skin.
All right. Dave, thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Well, besides poison plants, what are some other common rashes you see pop up as the weather gets warmer?
I mean, bug bites are a big one, you know, and people have different reactions to different types of bugs, and they can be really itchy and really problematic. It's, you know, mosquitoes are probably the biggest one here in Wisconsin because they're so common and they're such a nuisance. And some people react differently than others. So with the reaction that we have from a mosquito bite is actually our immune system reacting against compounds that are in the mosquito's saliva. And we'll have different ways that people will react to that differently. And some people are more attractive to mosquitoes than others. So, you know, some people might get a few bites over the summer and not have too much else. And then others will get just ravished by the mosquitoes, you know, all summer long.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
Yeah. I like going on hikes with people like you because I don't get bites.
Oh, man. You know, sometimes these springtime allergies will cause somebody to break out in the hives. How do you tell if a rash is hives?
So hives, and usually like springtime allergies, usually those are more upper respiratory conjunctive, like your eyes get red and itchy, or you have a lot of congestion or sneezing. That's usually the way kind of the pollen or the other types of seasonal allergies work. But people can get hives from a variety of things, including temperature. Some people can get cold-induced urticaria, is what we call it. Urticaria is the technical term for hives. But you know you have hives if you get itchy, sort of red, smooth plaque. So they're usually kind of flat top. It's not like a bump that has a rounded surface always. Sometimes they do, but they'll move around. So typically hives will show up, and then they'll disappear within 24 hours in that location, but then you'll get new spots in different places. So this kind of moving around and being very itchy, that's sort of the giveaway for hives.
You know, there are a couple of places where I'm driving. There's one place just south of Eau Claire, about 15 miles or so, and I'm driving through that area pretty much every time it feels like. My eyes just start to completely water. It's almost a dangerous thing because I'm trying to, you know, my eyes turn red, they start to water. And I've often wondered what in the heck could be causing it. And it's always in that same spot.
yeah, there must be some plant there. And I don't know what it would be. It's often hard to kind of pinpoint exactly what it is that's causing kind of these seasonal type allergy symptoms or even hives. But antihistamines, maybe you want to have some antihistamine on hand when you drive through that specific spot.
It's usually probably the same times of the year that I'm driving through that spot too. So, yeah. Well, as you garden or work outside, you can get really sweaty. How healthy is it for our skin to sweat?
Well, sweating is, we do it for mostly for temperature regulation. So it helps keep us cool, or helps kind of allows our kind of body to maintain a good core temperature. And so it's a good thing to sweat, because it tells us that your body is working to regulate its temperature. When people don't sweat, they can have really big problems. Sweat can be problematic for some people, however, especially if you have eczema. Sweat can really irritate the skin. And so that's something that we kind of usually will see, that sunlight, a little bit of sunlight can sometimes make people's eczema get a little bit better. But if you're somebody who's sweat sensitive, it can be really uncomfortable and cause actually more than just itching on the skin, but it can even cause some pain.
Someone else just emailed in, could you repeat the herb that helps with the bruising of the skin? And if you wear sunscreen clothes, will your skin get thicker again?
The skin will probably not get thicker again. So it's really to prevent the whole process from progressing or getting worse. And that cream is Arnica, A-R-N-I-C-A.
Arnica. Okay, let's go to John in Spooner. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm a daily listener. I heard a bit ago a caller called in about poison ivy, and there was some conversation about that. So I'm extremely allergic to poison ivy, and I went to doctor, dermatologist, and got all the pills and everything. Nothing worked, and so it was on the East Coast. The humidity in the air carries the oils, so I don't even have to be in contact with it, just the oil in the humid air. So I'm covered from head to toe every summer out there. But I ran across in a book that vitamin C with rose hips. So if you take that, orally, like a 250 milligram, four times a day is the best lower dose, but it's got to be with rose hips. And the other thing is, if you take the vitamin pill, crush it between two spoons, and put that wherever the rash had broke out. So I did that. Well, the vitamin C burns just like a lit match for about 10 seconds, and then you don't have no more itching, no more. And it, within 3 days, there's no sign I ever had poison ivy. But after going to the doctor and spending tons of money, and weeks went by, didn't change, it just kept getting worse. And then I also told another friend with the same situation. He waited about 3 weeks. Finally, he went and got the vitamin C, and that cured it. Same thing, 3 days. Friday, he started taking it. By Monday, he came back to work. Not a sign he ever had it.
Vitamin C with rose hips.
Yeah, I do know that this rash, it usually will burn out within about 3 weeks. So even if you don't treat it, because, you know, in terms of medically treating it, it will get better on its own. It just takes some time. So I don't know, in terms of the mechanism that vitamin C would, cause specifically the rash to go away. But you know, it's really good for your immune system in general. So maybe it's working some way kind of in that mechanism.
It could well be. John, thank you so much for calling. Again, you can join in. The number's 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Dr. Apple Bodemer, our guest today, dermatologist and professor in the Department of Dermatology at UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Talking with Dr. Apple Bodemer, taking a look at your skin today. She's a dermatologist, professor in the Department of Dermatology at UW-Madison. And again, join in 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Michelle emailed us. She has rosacea and is struggling with her face, always being severely dry and hot and burning. Is there anything she can do to help cool the burning without drying out her skin and making it worse?
Yeah, that's tough. And it sounds like if she's that uncomfortable, she might want to reach out to a dermatologist, because there are some medicated creams that can help slow the progression of, or help slow rosacea from getting worse. One of the biggest drivers of rosacea and rosacea flares is UV radiation exposure, so sunlight exposure. And so usually with people, especially with that dry kind of burning type of rosacea, they tend to be sensitive to a lot of chemicals that we find in personal care products. And so I generally recommend getting a really good quality mineral-based sunscreen. Finding one that's formulated for babies can be helpful, and because it's going to be less irritating in general than others that are formulated just for regular people, or one that's hypoallergenic. And there are several on the market out there, but also the big hats, sunglasses with wide lenses, try to protect that skin from UV radiation, because that will make the rosacea get worse.
What about athlete's foot? What's happening to the skin when that develops?
So athlete's foot is a superficial fungal infection of the skin. And this fungus lives everywhere. People might get grossed out and think, oh, you know, that it's a sign of being dirty. It's not. This fungus, you'll find it in gyms and pools, like anywhere where people are, you'll find these types of fungus that likes to live on the skin. And it can show up in summer. A lot of times it's because we're wearing flip-flops or sandals, or maybe going barefoot in public places. It's easier for us to pick up that fungus. It especially likes warm, moist environments, like a pool, or the showers, you know, in a pool. And if you're going to a public pool, they're almost always like going all day long, so they don't really get a chance to dry out in between. So wearing flip-flops in public places where you might otherwise go barefoot can really be helpful, at least in decreasing the chances that you're going to pick it up.
That makes a lot of sense. Lisa in Berlin has something. Let's go there. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So I'm calling because, like, during the summertime.
Oh, she has, I saw a part of it. She has acne gets acne in the summertime on her face and on the backs of her legs, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different ways that acne can show up, and it's usually not showing up on the back of the legs. So there might be something we call folliculitis that's going on the back of the legs. And, you know, I would want a little more detail in order to give any more specific recommendations. A lot of people experience acne as getting better in the summer because the UV does kind of help shut down a little bit of the inflammation. And so a lot of people say, well, it gets better in the summer. So if hers is getting worse in the summer, I would wonder if it could be in this folliculitis category, or maybe what's going on in the face could be in the rosacea category.
Catherine in Baraboo, on to you now. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Larry. I just was listening to you as I was driving to do errands, and I'm pulled over and safe now. But I just wanted to bring up that sometimes medicines that we're taking for one thing or another can also cause rashes. I had thought that I had just a sun sensitivity for a number of years, and did all of the staying out of the sun sorts of things, which I do anyway because I'm fair-skinned. But I had been taking a drug called hydrochlorothiazide for my blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And I was able to stop that due to my blood pressure being under good control even without it. And I now can be out in the sun and I no longer get an itchy, bumpy rash. So I hadn't really been thinking about that as a cause, and my doc really hadn't either until sort of serendipitously, I didn't have to take it anymore. So.
Yeah, Catherine, thanks. Yeah. Comment on that, Dr. Apple?
Yeah, there are a number of drugs that are known to cause photosensitivity, is what we call it. So these photosensitizing drugs, and hydrochlorothiazide is one. So sun sensitivity is one type of rash that medications can cause. There are other types of rashes that medications can cause as well. And, you know, one of the things that we like to say is any drug can cause any reaction. And that's not totally true. Some drugs are more likely to cause certain types of reactions. But if you start a new drug and you start having new problems with your skin, it might be something you want to check in with either the doctor who prescribed it, your primary doctor or a dermatologist.
Yeah. Chris in Madison, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just heard a lady talk about the fact that she had rosacea and she couldn't find any kind of skin care that might help and also anything to cool her face off. And I just wanted to say that I literally go online and just put in rosacea care, and that's the name of the products. And they have a full line of cooling sprays and skin moisturizers, and it's all made from natural products. I believe it might be out of Europe, actually, but you can get it here in the States. That's the only reason I'm calling.
Rosacea care. Are you familiar with that, Dr. Apple?
I'm not familiar with that particular line. There's a lot in the skincare market out there. And, you know, I think I'm a big fan of plant-based oils for people who have rosacea as moisturizers, because they usually, especially if they're the kind of dry and burning type, they can tolerate a little bit of oil on their skin, and then there's nothing else in it. I also really like the cooling sprays, and even just keeping a water bottle filled with some just regular tap water near you, so that if your face does start to feeling hot, you can kind of spritz your face, especially if you're exercising, you know, because we all get red and hot when we exercise. And with rosacea, they tend to get redder, hotter, and then they stay red and hot a longer time. And so finding ways to cool the skin down throughout the day when those kind of flares pop up can be really helpful.
Yeah. What about heat rash? Let's talk about that for a minute. What causes a heat rash?
Well, there's a couple of different things that kind of get lumped under heat rash. The most common is where your skin gets hot and it's stuck against something else. And so the sweat glands can't release the sweat onto the surface of the skin, and it kind of starts to build up underneath the skin. And then people get these tiny little white dots all over whatever surface that was. So we can see that, especially if people are hospital-ridden or bedridden and they're like lying in a warm environment, they can get this, we call it miliaria crystallina, which is a fancy name for it, but it's a form of heat rash. And so that's one form of heat rash. The other, like there are also types of allergies. People can have allergies to the sun, to different wavelengths of sun. And so that's something that can happen. And then there's another more common thing called polymorphous light eruption, or PMLE. And with that, it's polymorphous because it can look really different in different people. But that usually shows up in the spring when people will end up with these itchy rashes in the areas that are exposed to the sun, at least initially. And then over the summer, as they continue to get some sun exposure, the skin does something that we call hardening, which is kind of a misnomer. The skin doesn't actually get hardened, but it gets used to the UV exposure and it doesn't react quite as intensely. So that kind of spring heat rash is what might be a clue that you've got the polymorphous light eruption happening.
And what about sunscreens? What are you recommending? I know you like to cover up, and, you know, clothing and, you know, large hats and all that are a big help. But if you're going to use a sunscreen.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around, especially the chemical ingredients, active ingredients in sunscreens. And what we've found in the last couple of years, the FDA did a study and found that we were absorbing these chemicals to a much higher degree than we thought we were. And so I generally recommend staying away from those chemical ingredients. So when you get a bottle of sunscreen, you want to turn it over to the back, and it'll have a list of active ingredients. And it should say zinc oxide, titanium dioxide, and or iron oxide. So those are the three physical blockers that are going to be safer for your skin and also less likely to cause allergic reactions, because that's another thing that can happen with people can develop allergies to the chemicals in sunscreens. And so that's generally what I recommend. If you have sensitive skin, look for one that's either hypoallergenic or formulated for babies. And then there's a lot of variability in terms of thickness or lightness. What does it feel like on your skin? Is it one that has some tint to it, that it kind of acts like a makeup type, a concealer type thing? And if you're somebody that wears makeup, usually those are really easy to use. But if you're not, you might not like that tint. So you kind of want to play around and find something that works for you.
And one final quick one here, blisters. You know, you wear sandals. I don't wear them because I always get a blister. How do you heal a blister as quickly as possible?
Well, keep it covered. Keep it clean. Try not to pop it. And if you find yourself that it's really painful and you need to pop it, you'll want to use a sterile instrument, whether that's like something that's been sterilized so that you don't introduce infection into the blister. Best to leave the surface on. So people, it's easy to want to peel those blisters off, but that blister surface acts like kind of a natural Band-Aid and a natural healing environment for the raw skin underneath. So those are just some like quick tips. There's, you know, lots of those friction blisters like you're talking about are really common, but there are other reasons that people can get blisters. So if they're finding that they're getting blisters in places where they don't have friction or they can't quite explain it, it might be an important thing to bring up with your doctor.
Always a pleasure, Apple. Thank you so much for taking some time to be with us today, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Apple Bodemer, dermatologist and professor in the Department of Dermatology at UW-Madison. Lots of good health information on the show today. A big thanks to our team. It's a team effort. Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, technical directors, and Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins are our technical directors. Clara and Joel are our producers, of course. And Jill Nadeau is our executive producer. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.
You'll be scratching like a hound the minute you start to mess around. Poison.